You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Cheese Room Podcast. This is Brendan, your host for the show. We hope you've had a very festive Christmas and are looking forward to an excellent new year. We apologise for not doing a direct review of the Everton game. We're going to cover that game in this pod. But joining me to look back on that game and today's 4-2 defeat to Brighton, I'm joined by Mr. Paul Muir. How are you doing, Paul?
Happy Christmas, Brent. Yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, that was a difficult watch tonight and come off the back of quite a decent result as well, which was about Everton, which I was at, where it was quite a good game. Yeah, we've got quite a fair bit to talk about, mate. So, yeah, let's go.
Yeah, so I think we'll start with the Brighton game as it's the one that's just finished. Yeah. Obviously, a 4-2 defeat. Silver lining is that the Goons lost as well to West Ham, so we'll take it where we can. I think we were talking in the Slack chat and in our WhatsApp group about the lineup. You weren't too happy with it. What was it? Was it the absence of Dier or was it Højbjerg? What were your feelings with the lineup?
Yeah, when it came out, the kind of obviously the front four at the minute picks itself. That's not a problem. And then with Saar, being fit and available, he was always going to start. I've got an issue with Højbjerg playing as a six. Højbjerg is a good Premiership footballer in the right system. In Ange Ball, that's not the system for him. I think he's very, very poor at addressing the ball on the half turn. He's always got his back to attacking play. I also believe as well that he doesn't see a pass quick enough in Ange Ball. I also have a big issue with Emerson Royale being at right centre back. Whatever you want to think about Eric Dier, whether he's going, whether it looks like definitely he is going because he's not signed a new contract, whether he's going quite soon or not. He hasn't really let us down in Ange Ball, and I think he would have been better tonight. And I said that at the beginning. This is not hindsight talking after what we've just seen for the last 95, 96 minutes. But I just thought up against somebody like Danny Welbeck, maybe not Yao Pedro, but certainly Danny Welbeck, that's more in Eric Dier's kind of like wheelhouse in his locker, so to speak. So I was a bit disappointed to see Eric not playing because I don't think he's really let us down much. Everybody talks about lack of pace or anything like that. And bar, I think, a mistake against Wolves, I don't think he's really let us down. So I was quite surprised not to see him in the lineup. And yeah, and then Højbjerg as a six. I know Skip travelled with the team, but obviously he's got other, I think something like maybe a gash on the ankle, or he's picked up a knock in training anyway. So he wasn't available. So yeah, Højbjerg at the six was the other one I was quite surprised. I would have started Lo Celso there rather than Højbjerg and let Højbjerg come on, hopefully when we were 2-3-1 up or something like that. But not to be.
Yeah, I think it was a surprise that Skip wasn't in the starting 11, and it must have been something in the warm up. Obviously, we've not seen the post match press conference yet, so we'll find out what happened there with him. But the first opening, like Vicario, kept us in it there. It was a strange sort of 5 minutes. I think for me, his second save, because they were both from Welbeck, his second save from him was the better of the two, and it's just like we did settle a bit after that, but it was just nervy, and I wasn't enjoying us playing out the back.
No, from the get go, I think for the first couple of minutes we played some quite nice stuff down the left. We had kind of Kuhl playing off of Ricci in that 10. We know that he's really good at that. Gilmore was letting him drift a bit. Gilmore wasn't really picking him up. And then their big centre-back, Van Heck, if I butchered his name there, but he went man-to-man. He followed Kuhlu wherever he went. And that kind of, after the first 6-7 minutes, that really kind of blunted our forward play. Yeah, and then obviously Danny Welbeck. The first shot was off the keeper's right-hand post, so you expect him to save that, and the angle is always going to favour the keeper. The second one, it's like ping-pong, isn't it? And it breaks to Welbeck, and he leans back, and he's only going to put it one place, which is to Vicario's left, but Vicario's on the ground at that point, and he gets up really quickly, and I know keepers kind of train that a lot during the week, up quick, down, up quick, etc., etc. Changes of direction, changes of level. But he got really quick, and it was a really good save. And it wasn't the first one he made tonight as well. After a good kind of 4 or 5 minutes with us until they went man to man with Kuhlu, Vicario kept his in, mate. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, in total, they had 9 shots on target to our 3. We had plenty of shots. We had more shots than them. We had 19, but a lot of them, obviously, we hit the post twice. And obviously, offsides don't count. No. But we did settle, though, I thought, before they goal. We did have some chances, but I don't know if you listeners watch our YouTube channel, but I did a YouTube show with Sandro and JP yesterday, and Sandro has been mentioned on this pod, has been interning at Brighton under De Zerbi. He was the captain for De Zerbi at Benevento in Italy, so De Zerbi obviously has a very good relationship with Sandro. And he was saying about their defender, Hinshelwood. Thank you, Hinshelwood. That goal, like, it's frustrating because we've seen this before where the players just, they're looking at the ball, they go after the ball, and they're not aware of the players behind them. It was just such a lack of sort of panicky sort of, oh, there's a guy there. And that's where you sort of think, well, maybe someone more accustomed to playing central defence, Eric Dier, someone would be able to sort of observe a bit more and sort of see what's going on. To be fair to Hinshelwood, an 18-year-old right back, he did smash it, and it was a great hit.
It was true, smart. He put his leg, it was pretty much over Curry's head, but the power that he got in it in the direction, because normally you put your laces through it and it, sky over to Rosette beyond the goal, but it's a really true strike. What annoyed me is that it starts on the left hand side, and we kind of push him inside, but it's like we're not. All we're doing is like we're jockeying a player to where we want to go, and then Son's not tracked Hinshelwood behind him, and Son's come into the middle and he's left him on his own. As you rightly say, then somebody of Eric Dier, or Christian Romero, or somebody a bit more kind of experienced is going to say, like, you know, it's going to shout at Sonny, like, track your man. Sonny's left his man, he's free at the back post, the ball comes out that way, and obviously 1-0 to them. You've got to look at Son there. You've got to look at more awareness of, like, you know, of his man. I thought Son was, you know, we'll probably come on to me a little bit later, but very ineffective tonight. One of his poorer games. Didn't really get involved, especially quite a good. I mean, I know Sandro last night mentioned this youngster who scored, and he and De Zerbi obviously, like, rates him and stuff, and he's a good player. But you're looking at Son, who's like one of the elite kind of players this season, and you're thinking he should be able to, like, maybe take a few liberties with a 19 or a young guy anyway. And he didn't. And but just to let the guy go and then for him to score was pretty poor from our Korean, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I don't think there were many of our front players, except for Richarlison, that can come out of this game with much credit. I thought Kuhlu was quite poor. Brennan Johnson, Son, obviously, I don't think that they were on their game. I don't know if Son's sort of maybe distracted with the Asia Games coming up. He doesn't want to get risk injury or something, but it just all seemed a bit hopeful from him, and Kuhlu just kept falling over even in the first and the second half. He just needed to be a bit stronger. I mean, it was a bit hopeful, sort of Son again sort of going over quite easily when he should have just sort of tried to be a bit stronger, hold the ball and see what happens. It was just a bit hopeful. And then obviously the penalty was a laugh. It happened quite quick, so I was watching it on TV and couldn't sort of see whether it's a handball they were appealing, and then you see the replay and you're like, geez, what are you doing, Kuhlu? You're trying to change shirts and it's the 23rd minute. It just, it was so obvious. It was always comical. It was almost like watching a cartoon. And you knew, and they were saying in Brazilian commentary, that could be a red because he's denying, and there were players in front of him, so it wasn't like it was the last man.
Yeah,
but he's seriously denying a goal-scoring opportunity. But obviously it was just a yellow, but just stupidity from Kulu.
I don't know. Okay, it's a corner, comes over, back post header. They obviously hit the post, the back post, and there's a little bit of panic. Talking to Phil, who's one of our patrons in Slack. We have obviously a Patreon group, as you listeners know. And Phil goes that we're seeing players panic, or I'm paraphrasing here, but we're seeing, you have to ask yourself why somebody of Kulu's experience, I know he's still quite a young guy, but he's played a lot for us, okay, and he's an international, he plays a lot for Sweden. You have to wonder why he's panicked there and grabbed the player's shirt and tried to pull him back. You're not, I mean, come on. Cameras everywhere, you know, VAR is all going to be all over this kind of stuff. It's almost like we've panicked. We aren't playing well at that point. We know that it's a bit disjointed. We know that they're definitely kind of bossing us. They've got players out. We've got players out. And it's almost like there is like a bit of like, it's not Chelsea all over again, but it's like we start to kind of like take risks and we start to like try and be a bit kind of more physical than we need to be. And we just not lose our heads, but we just make bad decisions at key moments, offensively and defensively. I don't know what Kulu's trying to do there. You know, it's players grab pit player shirts, but you don't hold on to them for that long on the 6-yard box. And this is what I'm getting at. And penalty. It was never red, no, because there was obviously players on the line as well, and you can't tell me he's going to get to the ball and volley it in the top of the net. You cannot tell me that. It's not a red, but it's a yellow, and it's one of many stupid decisions from players at key moments tonight.
That first half, it was just terrible. We were trying to sort of, I said in the WhatsApp group, like, are there any outfield players that has come out of this with credit? I thought Pierre Højbjerg sort of started poor, but to be fair, I thought he grew into the game. He had that chance right at the end that hit the post. Yeah. Good hit. Like, and again, that goes in. It could be different. But that first half was really disappointing. And sort of the only chance really that we had was Brennan Johnson running in and passing it to Richarlison, who grazed the post. But again, I find Brennan Johnson so frustrating because I don't want to say he doesn't have any end product. I think that's an exaggeration, simplifying it. But he needs to make decisions quicker. He needs to be a lot more aware of the players around him and just have a bit more confidence. He looks a bit nervous. And it's just a bit like he's one of Make-A-Wish Foundation and he's a kid out there. He's got to be a bit more, you know, just decisive. And but yeah, that first half, I was saying, like, I just want this half to end because you'd hope, you know, coming out second half, maybe you'd switch it up a bit, but and put a rocket up them at half time. But it was a poor 45 minutes, I thought.
Very poor. Just lack of intensity. Our counter press was non-existent as well. Gilmore, Gross, James Milner at 38, 39, one for the OGs like myself and I was going to say you there, maybe not as old as me. Buonanotte played really well, but we had zero press. We were picking up zero second balls as well. When we did get the ball, it was really disjointed. What a lot of teams do now is obviously they like to try and play out from the back. It seems like the kind of en vogue way of playing in the Prem for the last 2-3 seasons. Pep and then Potter as well. Unfunnily enough, at Brighton started it. But it's like if you crowd the six, i.e. the guy who's going to take the ball off centre-backs, the defensive midfielder, in other words. If you crowd him, you can get the ball back. But if you've got players moving, so A passes to B, B passes to C. If C is already moving, by the time A's passed to B, he's in space to receive a ball. You break the press that way. Brazil. Brighton are really, really good at that. They did it under Potter, with Salcedo when he's there, when McAllister was there as well, when Basuma was there as well. That midfield is now has gone to us and other teams. They've still kept that going, and this third man running off the ball, Gilmore gets the ball, Gross moves, Milner ball, Welbeck comes short, João Pedro pulls out into a pocket. They know where the ball's going to go. The systems of play, We were nowhere near them in the first half. It was embarrassing. Mm. It, you know, and when we did get the ball, we couldn't hold it because our front three, apart from Richarlison, created absolutely zilch. Mm. And our midfield couldn't, apart from Saar putting himself like around and using his power and his energy and his conditioning, we weren't even close that first half, Brendan. It was frustrating, but also like, wow, are we really out of legs? Because we've got a game in 63, 62 hours, whatever it is. It's like, come on, you know, we need to pick ourselves up for like the weekend. If we're knackered here, then what hope is there? But yeah, that first half, mate, to answer your question, was as bad as it wasn't Wolves bad, but it was bad. It was very bad.
Yeah, no, there's like players that you sort of expect to put in a shift, like Porro and Udogie, were non-existent. I don't remember either of them doing anything of note other than something like Porro giving it away with a sloppy back pass, which almost let them in. It felt like we were almost lucky to go in at halftime 2-0. I was just like, come on, guys, we've got to stop this. And second half starts, and De Zerbi makes the change. We were hoping for a change as well. We're thinking, look, maybe like Kulusevski, let's switch him, let's put on Lo Celso, take off Johnson. He's ineffective, but he didn't do that, and we just went out with the same team. Second half, De Zerbi brings on Estupiñán, and for his first start in about 3 months, and what a hit! You're like, I hate seeing players score against us, but I couldn't help but feel a bit happy for Estupiñán as well for him, because he's been out for months and he's come back. He's the next big, I reckon he'll be the next one that will go for close to 100 mil. He's the next Caicedo, the next McAllister that they'll ship on for a shed loads of money. But what a hit. No chance for Vicario.
Yeah, I was surprised we didn't make any subs as well. We had a quick goal in the 46th minute. Well, sorry, we had an offside goal. Which was a real shame. And then they had a couple of quick corners. You can see something coming at the time, and then off the short corner again, it comes out to Estupiñán. I can't even blame us for not getting out kind of quick, because you're thinking he's like a good kind of like 5-6 meters outside the box, and he has just absolutely creamed that. And I say it's quite a lot. Nice bit of dip, nice bit of fade. Vicario's getting nowhere near that as well. Power, it's very, very true. And I'm in agreement with you, mate. I think he's the next one that will be off, you know, Cucurella style or something like that. But the goal itself, I mean, I'm just watching it now on my big TV, and it's just like, yeah, mate, you've absolutely, you know, like balance when he hits it, and like obviously there's a little bit of curl on the ball, but the ball is like not really spinning in the air, so he's hitting it really true. Yeah. Lovely goal, unfortunately, and against
us. Yeah, because you're right. I didn't actually mention that we did have some chances early in that second half. Richarlison was offside like early on, and hit the post. Was it again with that one? He had a couple of shots. That's why Ange bringing him off. I was like, what are you doing? The only thing I can think of is he's saving him, because we're going to lose Son for January. So if Richarlison picks up a knock, we are fucked up front for January. So that's the only thing. He saw it was 3-0. I think maybe he was going to bring off, he bought on Hill and Lo Celso. I thought maybe he was going to bring off Brennan Johnson then. Yep. Mm-hmm. But then I thought maybe he was like, right, 3-0. Let's preserve it. The game's done. But it was just really odd.
I think you're right, mate, about it. He got a yellow, didn't he? He put his hand in the throat of Yao Pedro.
That was fucking soft.
I'm with you, but you know, we know Richie's got a fuse. It's been really good, obviously, since we've known about what's going on with like his private life and stuff, and he's obviously got his head together a bit more in the operation. He's looking a lot better, but yeah, I don't think you can put your hand up in around the upper chest throat area of a player. And expect to like not get reprimanded for it.
It was shielding the. I don't know. For me, it's shielding the wood, sticking. Yeah. He wasn't looking where his hand was going. It was one of those where the player like bought that. The player just sort of going down, rolling around. It was ill judged, but I don't think it was aggressive. Okay, so you're thinking maybe Andrew's like, if he gets a second yellow,
I think there's a bit of that as well. I think you're right as well. What you say about Son being off. I know we're bringing Scarlett back from Ipswich. I don't know if that, I mean, I know Franco's been talking about that might be for another loan going out, but I can't see it. I think it's there for B to be cover. Even though Valise scored tonight, I think it's, yeah. I think Dane Scarlett coming back, under 19, under 20 international, under 21. He's not done that much at Ipswich. I think he's coming back. So that ties in with, I think we've got to protect Richie. If he's got a yellow and we're starting to see the signs that we were getting a bit more aggressive during the second half, I think Ange probably done the right thing by protecting him for Bournemouth and then the games after that as well. But he tried hard tonight. He put himself around. He's looked, yeah, kind of a little bit, but I'm not going to say the green shoot. Well, I'm going to say, yeah, green shoots. But the one positive thing, apart from Vicario's performance and Valise getting his goal, I thought Richie is beginning to look like someone who could actually bang in 10, 12 goals this season. I think the operation obviously like worked for him as well. He knows he's going to get a run of the games now if he keeps himself like suspension free, because obviously Son's off. He's moving freer, he's moving better, he's making runs, he's pressing really, really hard. It's not his fault that he's just mistiming his runs slightly. Maybe he wants the ball a bit quicker. Maybe he could say Kuhn's got to release the ball quicker or whatever. But, you know, some of these chances hitting the post, you know, that he's looking sharp. It will fall for him, and that's positive. That's really positive. So I think Ange done the right thing by taking him off and, just protecting him a little bit.
I don't know, just in the Brazil Spurs WhatsApp group, they were just like, they were thinking that Ange was punishing him for the offsides. And I was just like, well, no, that doesn't make sense. The second one was a toenail. The second one was, I was like, that's definitely not offside. Go to VAR. And then you sort of see the replay and you just, it's his toe. You're like, oh.
I know. But if you know Richie's playing on the back of maybe something like Van Hecker or Dunk, you know, he's playing. Between the middle of them, he's trying to run off their shoulders. If I'm Kulu or I've got the ball, then just release it, you know, because you know he's going to make that run because he's been offside two or three times already in the game. Just release it, give it to him. Just keep feeding him. Just keep feeding. Yeah. It's just like, you know, don't try and like take two or three extra touches. If you're coming across and they've got a square back line, you know Richie's going to make that darting kind of middle to like edge of the box. Give it to him early and let him hit it, because he's full of confidence off his left and his right. He's hitting the post, as I say. He's hitting, you know, he's making the keeper work, etc. It's just like, just keep feeding him. Just like, you know, all right, Richie, you missed that one. You're offside, but at least I know you're going to make that. Oh, you're offside again. But okay, you've made the run. I'll give you the ball. I'll give you the ball earlier. It's, come on, guys. You've got to, if this guy is like on the shoulder of someone, then yes, he can hold his run an extra half a second, but you've also got to give the ball earlier as well. And I think you can look at Kulu and say he doesn't release the ball at times. He's a great player. We know he's a great player, but if there's one thing to his game, I'd be like that when he's cutting inside, he's dropped the shoulder and play the pass straight away. Don't take an extra touch and then try and come more into the middle of the pitch. You know, use that angle that Richie's going to give you. So I think you could, the 6-1.5 dozen or other there. You know, it's the assist, maybe, or the player playing the assist, but also Richie might just have to like take half a second, just a beat to like stop his run. But yeah. Fine margins,
exactly, and that would have been that. So it was two at a time, wasn't it? Yeah. So again, it was fine margins, and the subs come on, and you kind of think when you see Brian Hill and Lo Celso come on, it's are they going to change? Have they got enough in their locker to change the game at 3-0? You're like, well, and then Lo Celso with the challenge for the pen again. Yeah. It was. Stupid, like, what are you doing there? Like, it was so clear. It was, obviously it was 3-0 already. So, like, well, is it really going to matter? Like, another goal? And, but yeah, just silly from Lo Celso. I don't think he had a good game. People were saying that he has to start the next game. I was just like, what? Did you think he had a good, obviously, taking away the penalty stupidity and his all sort of shithousery with João Pedro when he went off.
That was pathetic.
But do you think he had a good game?
I don't think many of the outfield players had a good game, as you alluded to maybe 8-10 minutes ago there. But it's a lazy challenge. You don't want to work hard enough to get on the right side and make a challenge. So I'm just going to leave my foot in there and he's gone in. He's kind of done like a forward lunge motion, and it's actually like his rear thigh is caught. I think it might be Ferguson's leg, and he's gone down. It's just like, no, make an extra kind of like, you know, quicker kind of step and try and get side on and then maybe lean into a bit more and stuff like that. But no, it was lazy. Lo Celso, he's obviously, he's got an attitude. I'm looking from watching, obviously from the stands when I see him and also when I see him on the TV and stuff. I think he's got an attitude problem looking at him. I don't think he's not the kind of guy you want next to you when the shit is going down. You don't. And it kind of, and what we talk about, that little shithousery moment when he's like, your player's going to walk off slowly. He's played really, really well. He's got the man of the match. He's had a good, he scored twice. He's walking off slowly. To run 30 metres from the centre circle and chase him off, push him in the back of the head, then put your hand over your mouth to make sure the TV doesn't see what you're saying to him. And then, like, obviously he said something like not very nice to him. Pedro's turned around. It's just, that's just pathetic. That's just stupid. Like, you're acting at that point. You know you've been, like, you know, you've been given a lesson by the team and you're trying to, like, do something, yeah, which is far, far too late, and you're trying to show, look, I'm trying. You're not. You're just being a little twat. You're being a little fucking idiot. And I think that says a lot about him. I don't care what Messi says about it. I don't care what he does for Argentina. For Spurs, he hasn't really done it. And if we could replace him with somebody better and more team-orientated, then I'd drive into the airport myself.
Yeah, it's an Argentine thing. Like, I was watching Brazil-Argentina in the qualifiers. The one that kicked off in the stands after the police rushing the fans. So tempers were already high. But it was an awful, awful game of football. Like, they won it 1-0. I'm just trying to remember. Who's the ex-Man City? Begins with O. The ex-Man City defender. Otamendi got the goal.
Yeah.
But it was just, it was like DePaul and I don't know, was the Celso even playing? But it there's just something there. It's theatre. I think you said it earlier. It's acting. It's theatre. Yeah. It's just not football. And it's just
like, look, I'm trying to be the hard man. I'm trying to like, you know, influence the game. You're not. All you're doing is you're just abusing someone who's being subbed, who's basically run rings around you. It's fucking, he thinks we're stupid if we're going to like fall for that. It annoys me.
It was frustrating. But then we decided to turn up on the 80th minute. Valizzi's goal. I was happy for him. Obviously, it's his first league goal. Is it his first goal for us? Or has he scored
I think he scored in the 21s as well. But it's his first senior goal.
So happy for him. And it was, you know, like you said, similar to the Sun goal against Everton. Decent hit.
We pressed, though. We pressed, like, Dunks Dalian in the left back position. Cooley comes in. Remind me, we'll talk about challenge in a minute. So Cooley nips it off him. Son responds really, really quickly. Draws two players and then pulls it across. Van Hecker is watching the ball, and then, like, Valise, not the greatest first touch, and then scuffs it with his right and puts it in the corner as well. I thought, yeah, you're right. We decided, like, we're down, we've got nothing to lose. You could say that Brighton took the foot off the pedal. There's probably an argument for that as well. But at least we were stepping on the players, and that was you know, shown by Kulu kind of like going in with Lewis Dunk. I thought Lewis Dunk followed through. I thought he raked him. I don't want to go down the conspiracy route of like, oh, if that was Romero, but you have to ask. The follow through takes out a player. You know, we've had a player carded for that. You know, you've got to think, where's the consistency there? But at least we pressed, and Feliz looked really, really happy about scoring his goal, and I'm happy for him. He looked overjoyed. He looked really, really happy.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Yeah, he did. And you're right, actually, that the challenge by Dunk was similar to the one, was it Curtis? Who was the guy that was sent off for Liverpool against us, where it was the follow-through on Bissouma and, like, Curtis Jones. The rake there? It was Curtis Jones, yeah. it was similar to that. And we've been done, like I said, I don't think there was enough in there for a Reds, to be honest. But it was a nasty little sort of a desperate lunge and a rake down. But yeah, great goal from Valerzan. And then we're like, well, 80th minute, there was 9 minutes of extra time. There's always sort of around between 8 and 10 minutes extra time these days. And with a game like that, which was quite high, loads of subs, high intensity, I think that we were expecting an extra 10 minutes. So we scored with the 4-1 with 20 minutes to go, pretty much, with including extra time. And then Daddy Davies turns up, who, again, I'm not sure he had an excellent game, but he out-jumped Dunk for that goal. That header it was great.
So, yeah, Hill takes it to the byline. Hill can't do anything, as we know Hill can't do. You know, we won't diss Brian Hill. It's not his fault. Gives it back to Poirot. Poirot puts a fantastic, probably his best cross of the game in. And then Davies gets behind Dunk and out jumps him and puts it in, you know, in the far corner. And then it's 4-2. And you're thinking, oh, hello. We all thought that, you know, in Patreon and stuff, people were like, you know, can we kind of thing. And I know, I think Højbjerg got a curling effort that hit the post as well, maybe 90 seconds, 2 minutes after. But a little bit too late, unfortunately.
Yeah, I mean, had that gone in, had the Højbjerg one gone in, Seb was saying in the chat as well, like, we get that one more, because that was around, what, 87 minutes. And there's, again, another 9 minutes of extra time. But again, it was just too little too late. Well, why would we only turn up in 80th minute? And then we knew that Brighton would tire. That's with their precedent. And I'm going to stop name dropping, but I did chat with Sandra at half time. He said, look, Brighton do tire towards the end of games because they can't keep up that intensity. We've seen it with us as well. We can always go one up and we don't get the second goal when we tire and then let them in. And it's a similar thing with Brighton. When you play that high intensity, you do tire towards the end. You can sub players on and try and deal with it that way. But they did tire, they did drop off, and we were playing good football. Like the last sort of 10 minutes of normal time and the 9 minutes of extra time, it was good to see. It was just a shame the first 80 minutes, we weren't really going for it. We weren't committed. We weren't getting those second balls.
Why do you think it took? Do you think it took... We were surprised by the intensity of De Zerbi's press, and you know they've got loads of players out. You know, as we know, Estepinia has just come back and stuff, and we've talked about him at length and stuff. But why do you think it took us 75, 80 minutes? You got any ideas?
I think that the majority of their injuries are further up for the field. So Mitoma's out. That we're talking about
Solly March.
Sonny March as well. So they've got players missing, but I just think maybe that their depth is slightly better than us. They do have a good scouting network, Brighton. So they have, and De Zerbi said in his pre-match presser, he was praising the youth team, not the youth team, but the backup squad, the under 21s, and it's a well-run club. And so I think maybe that they've not been on a good run of form. I think it was that they've had 2 wins in 12 going into this game. So they were there for the taking, but I just thought that they've now, like, Europa's on the back burner till, I think, Feb. Like, they don't have to do that playoff. So, but I think Europa took its toll on them, and they were tiring. I just thought that maybe playing at home gives them that extra lift as well. And our injuries, though, it's that central defence. I just think it makes us nervous. The fact that we've got no central defenders on the pitch, I think that goes through the team and makes us nervous. It was really hard to watch us play out because it's high risk. And we did get caught out a few times, as did they, in terms of the playing out. We just looked a bit nervous today. And you'd hope that for the Bournemouth game, obviously we're at home, so again that should hopefully make us a bit more confident. We'll have the crowd behind us, so
Kulik yellow, he's suspended for the weekend as well now.
I don't think that's a bad thing, to be fair. He looked knackered. He's got an engine, but there's only so much he could do. I think he's run, and we were saying this before earlier in the season, I don't know if it's still true now, but he'd run more than any other player in the league. Like
he's running on average about 13.5 kilometres a game.
Mad. So I think
it's just under 8 miles. It's about 8 miles. Okay.
Yeah. That's mental. That is huge. So I think him being suspended isn't a hugely bad thing. He needs a break. So imagine, like, he plays that game, does his hammy, and he's out for another month or two. Yeah. You know, so yeah. I think that...
It's not a bad shout, probably... the way our luck's going this season, right? With last question on Kulu, mask on or mask off, which you prefer? Sounds a bit rude, but
yeah. he's been playing well. Like, I think, mask on. He played really well against Newcastle with that mask. So we'll keep it on. So 4-2 loss, but the Gooners lost as well. So we're not that far behind the chasing pack in terms of top four. I think obviously league talk is not where we're at, but top four is definitely where we should be looking to aim. So we remain 4 points behind the Goons. Liverpool obviously now are 8 points ahead. Hang on, 6 points ahead. Sorry. Yeah. So it's not great to lose like that. West Ham, geez, West Ham are 3 points behind us now. Jesus, how?
I don't know what Moyes is doing there, but he's got. I mean, I think, you know, if but what's maybes, but we should have beaten him. We were absolutely cruising that game. 2025 is gone, and just I was thinking, hello, we are going to absolutely stuff him here, but we didn't. Anyway, yeah, Moyes is he's got something clear. That Kudos kid is incredible. He's so good, Brendan. He's like, you give him the ball and he's just like, he's like Deku a pace. He's incredible. And he a shot on him as well off his left-hand side. He's really, really good. And he's full of confidence. And, you know, and they bought well, you know, like, you know, Bowen and James Ward-Prowse playing really well. Emerson, the fullback they got from Chelsea, he's doing really, really well at the minute. They've had injuries. They've had a few out. Paqueta's playing really well. Yeah, he's got them moving. Yeah, and they're still in Europe as well. Obviously, they got there from winning the European Cup last season. So yeah, but yeah, let's see when the European Championship start. The European Cups will start again. Let's see how West Ham do at that point. But yeah, they're only three points behind us. But there's a good gap then down to Man U. But we play Man U middle of next month. So yeah, we'll see.
I just see that they missed. I didn't watch the Arsenal game. They missed a 96-minute penalty as well, Benrahma.
Yeah,
3-0. That would have been great, like 3-0. But
and who gave away the penalty? Declan Rice.
He's doing a favour for his old mates. But yeah, like. Exactly. But the thing that I think with this, like looking at the league in terms of points, but I think goal difference is going to be key as well, because there's lots of teams going for that top four. So those two goals that we got today, keeping it down, like a 4-0 defeat, that's a big chunk. So 2-0 goal deficit is it's not the end of the world. Had Højbjerg's one gone in, we may have got a point, but the goal difference, that we didn't want an embarrassment, and it was a thrilling game. It was a great game. Let's move on to the Everton game. Let's get more positive. Hey, we got a win. So it was again, as we always seem to do at home. Started well, got the first goal with Richarlison, and again, like, it's just sort of showing the confidence there. It was a really good build up. I thought that I love that the dummy from Skip for me was that made that goal. It's like, oh, mate, who is this from? And yet, it was one of those goals from Richarlison where you're like, if this was maybe a couple of months ago, that would have hit the post, or it'd have sort of it would have bubbled or something. But it just seemed things seem to go for Richarlison in recently.
So it's just really nice build up on the right, you know, we nice little triangle with Porro, gives it into Pavan Matasar kind of plays his ball inside the fullback, and Johnson's on it. That ball is on 12 to 15 times a game when I watch him in the flesh at live at stadium. That ball inside a fullback, especially if Johnson is as quick as everybody says he is, if he's clocked at 30 odd clicks an hour, which he can do, then he should be able to outpace any fullback. That ball inside a fullback, between the fullback and centre back, is on, and he gets onto it, and Richie knows exactly what we're talking about a minute ago. ABC. As soon as that ball goes, as soon as that ball's played inside a fullback, Richie's on the move in the middle. You know, and Johnson knows that, and bang, it's clockwork. It's a system of play. It's what City does really, really well, and it's what Liverpool do really, really well as well. in certain areas, and I just wish Johnson could do it more. But the finish was like first time came across the defender. I wanted to get the ball quick, wanted to get the ball first, and put it past Pickford. And Pickford was like, "Yeah, a yard too late," and ran off and kept the celebration, because you know I like to talk about a Richie celebration. Kept it low key, didn't do the pigeon, and had a little bit of respect. They were singing his name as well at the end. The Everton fans and that, but the goal was really, really nice, really slick, really, and it shows what Brendan Johnson can do, which we want to see more of. We need to see more of it. We need, because when everybody's fit, he doesn't play. He's on the bench, in my opinion. So he needs to do that more when he's got this opportunity. And what we see with that first goal, Everton, it's not happening enough. He's either not trusting himself, or he doesn't feel that he can cross that ball into Rishi's path enough times. I don't know why he doesn't, because I say that ball is on all the time inside of fullback. Mm.
Yeah. Well, I think the key difference with this game compared to others was that we got that second goal. Sonny, again, like we're saying, the scuff shot, and we needed it, because Everton, like, they're no chumps. Like, they were the form team going into this game. Obviously, got the bit between their teeth after the 10-point deduction, and that gives them something, you know. That's like the sort of the old Mourinho us against the world sort of mentality, the siege mentality, and it was. So we're clinging on towards the end there, and Andre Gomez, like when Gay went off, Idrissa Gueye went off. I was quite happy. I was like, oh, good, they've got a decent player off, and then Andre Gomez comes on. I thought it was superb. I thought he was really, really sort of Bentancur-esque, sort of like had seemed to have a bit more time on the ball than everyone else, and dictated play and scored a decent goal. And again, that goal, it was very similar to Hinshelwood's goal in that. This was from a corner, but we just weren't watching. We weren't aware of who's there in the box, and he hit it well, hit it true, and again, it was tough for Vicario to get, and it left a sort of, what was it like in the ground? Because it felt really nervy. I couldn't watch the last.
It was nervy. I mean, again, we were playing really, really well. Skip was playing as a six, moving it quite nicely. Davies was playing quite well. I think the substitution that Shaw Dykes to make by being obviously Gueye kind of injured himself, and then Gomez come on, because Gomez just sat on Skip, so obviously he's not good enough to like get himself free as a Bentancur would or a Bissouma would, so we kind of like we got a bit disjointed at that point as well. And we were lucky because Danjuma had some really good chances. The more I see a Danjuma, the more I think, why didn't he play more? I know we got Solomon through the tribunal for free and stuff. We've not really seen a lot of Manuel Solomon because he got injured and stuff. But you look at Danjuma and you look what he offers the Toffees off the bench, and you think, we could do a bit of that, couldn't we? Let's be honest. I mean, his opportunities at the weekend. It was Porro being caught upfield again. Danjuma kept his whip from the left and offside for one of them, and then hit the crossbar, and then Vicario comes off Vicario's knee. He blasts over the bar. Another opportunity as well. He looks like somebody that could do a job for us, and it just seems a bit weird that we let him go to Everton. Because I've been quite impressed with him, but I think. In the stadium, it was kind of like, we should be holding on to this, and we will be holding on to this, but that doesn't kind of like legislate for like, kind of like losing a ball in midfield with a really sloppy pass and then breaking really quickly. I don't know what Deitch has done there, because he's got people like McNeil and Garner, Mikulenko. He's got this young guy Braithwaite coming through, and they look decent. You know, they all work really, really hard for each other. Harrison's come in from Leeds, and he's done a really decent job. That's not his normal position where he's playing. Up and down the touchline as well, tracking back a lot of stuff that Brendan Johnson doesn't do. Deitch has got them playing as a unit, 10 outfield players with people like Tarkowski and Patterson. Just pretty solid at the back as well. Tarkowski will lead you like through a wall if you have to. He really wants his team to do well, and fair play. I'm glad we won. Of course, I'm glad we won, but I want to see Everton stay up, because I quite like Dyche, what he's done there. I didn't like Dyche when he was at Burnley for various reasons, but what Dyche is trying to do at Everton and what he's been handed with him, handed with the 10-point deduction, I really want to stay. I really want them to stay up. And yeah, let's see how it goes. But the I was glad to I was glad when I was in the stadium that we won. Very much so.
Yeah, it was nervy. Like the one where the Dan Juma one when it came down off the post and hit Vicario's thigh. Like, I don't know how much he knew about it, but it was again, it was just millimeters. And again, well, we needed that. We needed that 3 points, and it sort of kept that momentum going. And so to finish up the festive period against Bournemouth on Sunday,
we do. But can I just quickly say there that we have got the joint most goals conceded with Forest after tonight. We are second.
Really?
Yeah. It's I think Daniel Markin, one of our patrons, again put up in Slack earlier that we are probably joint top of goals conceded with Forest. I think you might have been since November. I think obviously when Romero first had an injury or whatever. But yeah, we need to tighten up defensively. We need to stop like shipping like goals here, there, left, right, and centre. But maybe we'll get a centre back. In the window. Who knows? There seems to be real talk about players going out. Dyer seems to be he might be on his way even this window. So it looks like we're gonna get centre back reinforcements. But we need to tighten up, especially until Van de Ven and Romero come back as our centre back partnership. Yeah, but we finish up against Bournemouth. Sorry, mate, I interrupted you there at the weekend.
Yeah, no, you raised a good point there. I did mention the sort of the key to, thing from the Everton game as well was Romero's injury, which happened right in the first minute, wasn't it? It was sort of trying to keep up with Calvert-Lewin.
He tangled with him, he tangled with him. The ball was bouncing and he hooks it out for it was a free kick. Sorry, a throw-in or a corner, I can't remember. And he got a little bit gingerly and I thought he was adjusting his shin pad, but he wasn't. He was touching his ankle. And I think Calvert-Lewin landed on him a bit awkward. I don't think there's any foul play there at all. But yeah, he's just another injury. He's tweaked something in his hamstring, or maybe in the upper hamstring, like lower glute area. And 4 weeks out.
Do you think that this is a symptom of Ange Ball? Do you think it's a symptom of just the extra time that they're playing? Not that this season we're playing sort of an extra 15-20 minutes of high intensity football each game with the added time at the end and in the first half. Do you think that is taking its toll? Because it's getting too frequent now for us to sort of say it was bad luck. Both of our central defenders are out with hamstring injuries. Obviously, we mentioned earlier as well about the stop-start nature of VAR.
Yeah.
And that's clearly what did for Van de Ven was that we were standing around for 15 minutes whilst VAR was disallowing Caicedo's goal and then gave it to gave a penalty and sent off Romero. And so it was... what do you think's causing these injuries? It can't be just bad luck.
It's happening league-wide, isn't it?
Yeah.
If you take it from that point of view, then you've got to be looking at the intensity of the game. I don't know the Opta stats. I don't have those stats available. I would say that the ball is in play a lot more now. So, and I'd say the intensity of the game has increased. So therefore, the load on a play is more intense and it's longer. So instead of working out, so you're in the gym, you instead of working out for 60 minutes, you work out at the same intensity for say 65, 70 minutes. Obviously, your body is going to pay for that in some way, right? Games coming thick and fast. So I think there is a little bit of, I think there's a little bit of truth to what you're saying there as well. A few of our injuries have happened while we've been training. Okay, the meniscus tear that Solomon that had in his knee and stuff as well. That's happened in training. That is a controllable that we can control. It's called load management on an individual. The bra tops they wear, they've got the GPS responders between the shoulder blades, and also some of them have built-in heart rate monitors, which you can control, or a sports scientist at the side of the pitch will get a Bluetooth reading from that monitor and say, right, he's in the red zone, i.e. he's done too many minutes too intensively. You talk to the coaches say either yes or no, we're going to take him off, or we're going to lower the intensity of the training session. You can control those kind of things when you're training. And I think we could be a little bit culpable at maybe pushing our players too hard, because the way we're playing is high intensity. We try and get the ball back within 3 or 4 seconds. You know, we're asking our wing backs, we're asking our midfielders to do an awful lot of running as well. You know, and we're trying to play at high intensity for a longer period of time. So, of course, you know, the higher the workload, the higher the stress on the body. If the body's not conditioned and built and i.e. Trained properly, something's going to break down. So I would say there's probably 6-1 of that. And also as well is that we are just not managing the players' training loads correctly at the moment. Does that answer your question, Nick? So,
yeah, no, very good. This is why you're here. You are our fitness guru. So you're our Mr. Spurs, Motivator.
Spurs, if you're listening, it's 6 figures plus I need 8 weeks off a year.
But yeah, no, like I said, we have disappointing defeat today.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
But we were in a good run, 3 wins in a row, kept us in there.
Yeah.
And like today, I don't feel that this. I felt worse after the Wolves game than I did after today. And maybe it was because the end of the game today was way better than the end of the game against Wolves.
Yeah.
But yeah, we fight on. So bring on Bournemouth.
They're in a good run, though, aren't they? They're doing quite well, aren't they, Bournemouth, at the moment? I did watch the Summoner game at the weekend, and the look right. Mate, how long has Solanke been playing football? He seems like he's been around for like decades. And I know he's like, you know, he's probably like early 30s, but he seems to be around like ages. And obviously he scored like, I think it's 4 and 6 he scored now. They've got that guy they got from Bristol, Alex. I'm trying to remember his name. Tell me his name. Can't remember his name.
Lee, was it Alex Lee or something?
I can't remember. They've gone up to 11th now, which, you know, it's obviously like which is like a pretty decent kind of position for them to be in, especially now. Yeah, it seems to be coming together for them quite well. So it's not going to be easy at the weekend, you know. You know, Bournemouth, like, you know, they've won the last four, Bournemouth. So they're on a bit of a run. So
yeah, they're the former team.
And if they win, they'll jump above like place people like Chelsea and people like this as well. So it's not going to be easy, especially with, like, as I think Kula's out. But, you know, we adapt, we improvise, overcome when we've got players out. We have done so far. I'm looking.
Is it Alex Scott?
I know Seb really likes him, because we were looking at him as well, I think, for a bit, maybe during the summer when he was at Bristol. But and he's been injured for a while, so we haven't really seen him at Bournemouth. But he seems to be, you know, doing quite well. He seems to be, like, you know, tearing through. He seems to be that kind of box-to-box midfielder. Which yeah, might be something that we might have needed back when we were looking at him. But yeah, you know, we'll see at the weekend. We'll get a close look at him at the weekend. But it's not going to give me a gimme. It's not going to be a gimme at the weekend.
No, not at all.
You know, so especially with the guys we got out. Yeah, we're looking tired tonight. You know, very very quick turnaround, 2.5 days. You know, it'll be a debrief tomorrow. Probably a little bit recovery. With players that didn't play that played tonight, and then probably tactical stuff before the game, the day before the game. There's not going to be a lot of turnaround or time to work on anything else, really. So, yeah.
Is also it, like you were saying about the turnaround. Like they've got 2 days extra rest than we do. They played on the 26th. We played today. So that, and when it's this time of year, when it's this sort of these margins do make a big difference. Yeah. And so you look at Dominic Solanke was. I didn't even remember him at Chelsea. I remember him at Liverpool. He was the sort of one of those championship players where you're like, is he too? He's like too good for the championship, but not good enough for the Premier League. So, you know, Odin Wingy, who's another one like
Mitrovic.
Mitrovic, yeah. Well, Mitrovic still could bang him in as well in the Premier League, but yeah, it's gonna be and just think, like, I'm a proper 90s hipster, Justin Kluivert, mate. Oh, it's Patrick Kluivert's son.
Yes,
amazing.
Yes. he can hit a free kick as well. He had a good chance at the weekend. Who were they? They're playing Fulham. That's why I was watching it. Yeah. Sorry, they beat Fulham 3-0 And they look tidy. Yeah, they'll give you chances. They're not great at the back, but they'll give you chances. But yeah, you got to look at the way we play tonight. You got to think, you know, just rest up. You know, just get that. Yeah, what's gone is gone. Try and maybe have a meeting tomorrow or a debrief and ask about some of the things. Yeah, if players need to say a few things about, you know, the way other players play tonight, because I think there's a little, you know, you could definitely see people getting frustrated with other people. Get that out of the way, and then just cruising at the weekend, and then, you know, you've got an FA Cup, I think, after that. And there's not too many. I know we've got players going away for January, but we haven't got too many fixtures. So onwards and forwards. You know, come on, let's have it.
Yeah, let's have it. Right, before we go, let me quickly mention our friends at footballprizes.co.uk. This week's Spurs prize gives you the chance to win an amazing signed match-worn shirt from Tottenham's keeper, Vicario, worn during Spurs' 2-1 victory over Palace in the Premier League in October. This comes down from match-worn shirts. Find a low-odds ticket and you'll be entered into a 10-1 draw for the insane piece of memorabilia. There's also a stunning signed and framed Tottenham Hotspur shirt from England international James Maddison up for grabs with every ticket purchased. So do check that out. The tickets cost £3.95 each. £3.95. Patrons do get a discount, so do become a patron if you want to get a ticket. And the draw is made on Tuesday. So, yep, footballprizes.co.uk to win a signed Vicario shirt. Paul, let's wrap things up. Anything else to add before we go?
No, mate. No. Patreon's been good. If you want to fancy treating yourself for the new year, starting 2024 with a bang, come and join our Patreon. You'll get a nice T-shirt and a mug and get to talk to people like you and I and stuff. There was some pretty good stuff there this week. I've had a good few chats. Sean from Toronto Spurs. Pat Chan over in the Far East as well. It's a worldwide community in there as well. Yeah, so it's a good chat, and yeah, they've all got their own individual takes on the game, and it makes for a good place to be. And it was good tonight as well, because yeah, we could see it wasn't all doom and gloom like some of us and some of the people involved are, but it's a good place to be. So if you fancy getting involved in Patreon, come on over.
Yeah, patrons, we do love each and every one of you. Thank you for your support through this year. And we will fight on for the Bournemouth game. We will be doing a social in the start of February. The details we're still ironing out, but I think you can guess who the special guest will be.
Is it one of your mates?
Oh, bless. So,
Colossus.
So, GZ's the Colossus, the midfield beast, will be joining us at the start of February for our social. So, but yeah, details will come out soon for that venue, obviously date and stuff like that. So do watch out for the YouTube crew. They've done an instant match reaction tonight. We'll be doing a review of the Bournemouth game as well. So do check us out on the socials. Do follow, like, comment and subscribe. And as ever, come on, you Spurs.
Come on, you Spurs.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.